If you'll please turn with me there to the book of John, chapter number 4, we will find our second miracle that we're looking at tonight. We've started a new series entitled The Miracles of Christ, and it's already been wonderful to see what the Lord wants us to learn about Himself, most of all, and also learn about ourselves and how we can be encouraged to trust God in greater ways for this year. Amen. So John chapter number 4, let's look at verses 46 to 54. And here we see the miracle of the nobleman's son. The miracle of the healing of the nobleman's son. Notice verse number 46 in John chapter 4. Look with me there. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Amen. Verse 54, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, dear Lord, for revealing who you are to us through your word, through your works, through the precious promises that we can claim. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who indeed is our teacher tonight, Lord. We rest in your promise, Lord, that as we open your word, as we are faithful to trust in your word, the Spirit of God would touch our hearts this evening and speak to us and teach us your truth that we may, Lord, leave from here a people of faith, a people, Lord, who do not just look for the results, but a people that rest in thee. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, no doubt the Lord Jesus Christ, as he traveled around Judea and Galilee, he performed miracles that are not recorded. We know many saw them, many believed. But here we see the next recorded miracle, and the Lord returns to the place where he performed his first miracle, Cana of Galilee. Now, apologies, last Sunday I think I mentioned Cana was a small town in Judea, but it's in Galilee, as we read the Bible says. In Galilee, that's where Cana was, and remember the Lord Jesus Christ wonderfully performed his first miracle. Now, it was a significant miracle because the Lord held off for 30 years. Remember, his first miracle was when he began his official public ministry. And his first miracle took place not in order for the Lord to impress others, not in order for the Lord to draw a great crowd to himself, but the Lord provided wonderfully and lovingly and graciously for the needs of others. And we were reminded that we have a wonderful Savior, amen? The Lord Jesus Christ came to this wicked, sin-cursed earth for us, for our greatest need, which was the need of salvation. And the Lord came for us. What a wonderful time we enjoyed last Wednesday night. And we're going to continue to learn about our Lord this evening. And here we find the second miracle, and we find a man in need. The Bible says he's a nobleman, but he's also a father. He's a father of a son, the Bible says, that is near to death. And when he hears about the Lord Jesus Christ approaching, remember, he hasn't seen the Lord, he's only heard of the Lord, he's only heard of his miracles, straight away he makes the journey from the coastal town of Capernaum to Galilee to find the Lord. He was in need of help, wasn't he? But can you see the desire in this man's heart tonight? You see, he heard of the Lord and he said, I need to find him. I need to seek him for help. The journey was around 40 kilometers. For our Americans tonight, that's about 25 miles, apparently. And you see, this man had some desire in his heart, didn't he? In fact, he was hopeful. And he didn't just place his hope anywhere or in anything. He placed his hope in the Lord. And he went to seek the Lord. The Bible says, when he found the Lord, notice there in verse number 47, the Bible says he went out unto him and besought him. Those words mean to ask with a great desire. He besought the Lord. He was beseeching the Lord. He was saying, Lord, please, I need you to come and help. I need you to come down to Capernaum because my son is near to death. He desired the Lord. And he hoped in the Lord. He went to the Lord and sought him out. Now, before we go any further, let me encourage you that it's the Lord that we need to come to in our time of need. Amen. When was the last time that you besought the Lord? When was the last time that you fervently prayed to the Lord with desire in your heart because you needed the Lord to do something in your life? You know, so often the Lord we know is near, but we can walk straight past him in our lives. The Lord is near and he wants to help us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to hear our prayers and answer them. But so often we look to other things with desire in our hearts. Sometimes we look to others for help. Now, as husbands or as wives, it's not wrong to try and encourage one another. But only the Lord Jesus Christ can do miracles. Amen. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do the supernatural. It's not wrong to look to our help from the government that we can receive it, or agencies that the government has provided, whether they be medical or social. That's not wrong. But at the end of the day, our hope needs to be in the Lord. At the end of the day, we need to be careful not to rest our desires and our expectations on this world, but in the Lord. You see, this man had an expectation, didn't he? And that fueled his passion and drove him to seek out the Lord. And that's a sobering truth because as we read the scriptures, this man was an unbeliever. If you study these verses out, he wasn't saved. He was unsaved. And so then how much more should God's own very children, you and I, seek the Lord? Seek the Lord in a time of need. I mean, we are the ones who have experienced his miraculous work. Amen. If you're saved here this evening, you've experienced the greatest miracle, the miracle of redemption. Amen. Of salvation. The wonderful miracle of being born again. We've seen his blessings and we've seen his miracles in our lives. But so often we forget about the Lord. We forget him. We walk past him. We deny him. The Lord is still the same Lord that we're reading of in the scriptures tonight. Amen. And he is with us tonight. Let me encourage you, church family, to hope in the Lord. To seek him with desire. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, why don't we turn there? Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. The Bible says in verse 13 of chapter 15, now the God of hope. Now our Bibles tell us who God is here in verse 13. He is the God of hope. Why would we look anywhere else, amen, if this is who the Lord is? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. My friends, this is not a natural joy. This is not an ordinary peace. This is a supernatural work of God that God wants to do in our heart miraculously when we believe, when we put our hope in the God of hope. Notice verse 13. That ye may abound in hope. That tells us that even during the worst trials, we can push forward in greater ways than we ever have before because the Lord is able to give the joy and peace only He can give. Now, we can't explain it in any other words. It's a supernatural joy. It's a supernatural peace that only He can give when we seek Him with desire and hope. And we allow Him to be the Lord of our lives. Notice at the end of the verse, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who says, hey, turn that wretched TV off, amen? That's just a distraction. That's just a band-aid. You're depressed. You're discouraged. You're suffering. You need to switch that garbage off because there is a Savior who wants us to draw near to Him. Amen? I've done that. I've switched on the screen or looked at the screen. It's just a distraction. Entertainment is just a delay. Thank God for the Spirit of God that says, get off that thing and open the Word of God. Get on your knees and pray. The Lord is the one who we need to seek with desire. A humbling example in this unsaved man. Let me encourage you to seek Him. The Lord wants to work miracles. You know, it's interesting to see what drove this man to the Lord. What was it that ultimately drove him there? Well, yes, but what was his need? That's right. Well, he didn't want to lose his son. He was facing a great trial, and we're reminded tonight that it's the Lord who allows the trials in our lives, doesn't He? And so often we stand back and we think, Lord, why have you allowed this? This isn't fair. I don't like this. This hurts. This is uncomfortable. This is breaking my heart. And yet it may be the very thing that we need that the Lord has put in our lives to bring us closer to Him than we've been before. Let me encourage you, if you're facing a trial right now, and no doubt we all are in different areas, different ways in our lives, let me encourage you, the Lord has put that there for a reason. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to draw near to Him. And He wants us to hope in Him for His help in a time of need. It's encouraging to know that just like in this man's heart, the Lord is continuing to work in our hearts as believers. Amen? Let's continue on. Let's see what happens. We see His desire for the Lord. Notice the Lord's drawing. Notice how the Lord draws this man to Himself. In verse 48, it's interesting what the Lord says to this man. Now, you might think that the Lord says, all right, let's go. Let's go to your son. We know the Lord is loving. We know He's merciful. We know He's more gracious than we can ever imagine. But in this very moment, back in John chapter 4, the Lord rebukes him. Notice verse number 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. It was a rebuke. You see, the Lord was challenging this man about the genuineness of his faith. You see, he had come to the Lord with a measure of desire, with a measure of hope, but the Lord was asking the question, who or what are you really placing your faith in? Now, this is a significant statement because this is the first healing miracle recorded in the Bible. And we see the Lord teaching us something here this evening. You see, as we will go on in the Word of God and see all these healing miracles that the Lord wonderfully and miraculously accomplishes, we need to remember that the Lord's goal ultimately was never to make the sick whole. His goal was to make their faith whole. Not their body, but their soul. The Lord was seeking those who would put their faith in Him as Savior. Now, did He care about the son? Of course He did. But you see, before the Lord performed a miracle in the son's life, He wanted to perform a miracle in his father's heart. You see, that is the point of the miracles of Christ. The Lord was drawing this man to Himself. He was drawing out the faith that he still did not have. So the Lord said to this man, if you want to understand what's taking place here, He said, look, I know where your faith is at. And it's not a strong faith. It's not a true faith. It is a weak faith. You hope that I can work a miracle, but really at the end of the day, I know your heart, as he said to the nobleman, I know your heart. You'll only truly believe once you see your son healed. Once I come with you and do as you want me to do and see your son healed. So the Lord was rebuking him. Now for those of us who are saved, we know we don't need the Lord to save us any longer. We don't need to ask him to forgive us for our sins once and for all. That has been accomplished at the cross, amen? We've received him as Savior, but we also need to be reminded that we need the Lord as Christians as our Savior for our everyday life, for our everyday needs. And what we learn in this example, this wonderful story of salvation, for us as Christians, we need to understand that real faith is believing without seeing. You see, this man came with great hope, but he didn't have real faith. And the Lord was rebuking this man lovingly because he wanted him to put his faith in him as Savior. He was drawing out his faith and he was challenging his faith. And for us as Christians, the Lord, if you will, is challenging us tonight that real faith is believing without seeing. How many of you are like me and you struggle with that tonight? I need to see it first, Brother Burton, before I believe that God can do it. I'll pray, but when I see it happen, then I'll really believe. How often do you and I pray that way? We know we can pray and we say, well, why not? Let's just see what happens. But my friends, that is not faith. That's the faith that this unsaved man had. And the Lord said, no, that's not faith. Only if you see the miracle happen, only then you'll believe. And what kind of faith do we have this evening? Now, isn't it true? So often we say, Lord, I know you provide for all my needs. That's what you've said, but really I don't believe it until you give me the job that I need. Right. Haven't you said that to the Lord before? Haven't we said to the Lord, Lord, I know that you're long-suffering with my family that aren't saved. I know that you are, but Lord, to me it looks like it's impossible for them to be saved. Lord, until I see something happen, until they soften towards me, Lord, I can't believe that you can save them. I can't believe that you can reach them with the gospel. And yet the Lord has his promises in his word for us to claim, to know that he is at work. And so often it's we who are believing, because we are waiting for the miracle first before we believe. And the Lord says, no, that's not faith. That is unbelief. Faith is believing without seeing. Believing without seeing. How about this one? Lord, only when you take that problem away, I'll really believe that you're always good to me. Always. Isn't it so true? When the problem comes, the first thing that comes into our hearts is that the Lord is not good. That he's not working in our lives always for good. That he doesn't love me anymore. My friends, that is an offense to God. That is unbelief. And we need to understand that we need the Lord's rebukes. Amen. He rebukes us because he loves us. And he loved this man. He wanted this man to be saved. And we need to ask the question, where is our faith tonight? Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ himself? That's who our confidence needs to be in. Not in the results. Not in the unfolding events, but in Christ alone. He is the one that is worthy to be trusted for our faith. As we continue on, notice what the Lord said to him next. Well, the nobleman said, Lord, verse 49, sir, come down ere my child die. Now, his desire was still there, but the Lord was still at work in his life. Notice verse number 50. He said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, this is not what the father wanted. What did the father want? He wanted the Lord to leave Cana and come down to Capernaum. And he said, Lord, if you'll just come down, if you'll just go and come with me and heal him, he'll recover. And the Lord said, all right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go thy way. I want you to go home. Your son is alive. Now, what was the Lord doing? The Lord was challenging this man again about his faith. Because you see, this man knew what you and I know today, that only God can heal with a word. Amen? Only God can heal, if you will, by remote control from a distance. I mean, this is a life-changing moment for this man, because suddenly he's confronted with the question, who is this miracle worker? Is he just another prophet? Or can he just work wonderful miracles? Or is this the Messiah himself? Now listen, if he'd heard about the miracles, he'd heard about the prophecies, and he'd heard about what's taking place around, and he was wondering, who is this? Who is this man? The father had to decide, what do I believe about this Jesus? Notice the rest of verse 50. What does the Bible say? And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And church family, this evening, notice that this is the evidence of true faith. He trusted in the Lord. He put his confidence in the Lord and his word, believing without seeing. And let me stop by saying this is what the Lord is seeking to do in your life and mine. When we get saved, my friends, that's the beginning of faith. The Bible says we are to go from faith to faith. Amen? We are to trust in the Lord more. We are to depend on Him more. We are to get to know Him more. We are to put our expectation and hopes in Him even more as Christians. But the Lord needs to work in our lives in order to do that. Because so often we are unbelieving. We've trusted in Him for our salvation, but we won't trust in Him for our bank account. So we say, Lord, I don't know if I can refuse work on Sunday because I may not be able to pay the bills next week. And yet the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're so quick to worry, to doubt. We're so quick to distrust the Lord. And what the Lord desires in our lives is not a weak faith, amen, but a faith that is whole. Not a superficial faith, but a strong faith. That's what faith is. And I wonder if we'd allow the Lord to rebuke us tonight. Thank God for His rebukes. Has it ever happened to you, like myself, that the Lord answers a prayer miraculously, and it's not because of our faith in Him that He's answered, but it's in fact a rebuke. He's answered in His graciousness. He's answered in His mercy. And we see the miracle take place and we think to ourselves, what was I doing panicking? What was I doing thinking ill of the Lord? What was I doing not trusting the Lord? I should have put my faith in Him before the miracle took place, before the answer to prayer took place. Have you ever been rebuked that way before? You know, the Lord is gracious, isn't He? You know, the Lord is gracious to work in our lives even today, just like He was working in this man's heart. He's trying to draw out faith to Him, to Himself. And what's wonderful about this example, that the Lord is just as patient with us today. Amen. Thank God He's patient when we're unbelieving. Thank God He's at work. Let me encourage you to continue to allow the Lord to work in your life. Whether it be through a trial, whether it be through a delay in prayer. You know, the Lord delayed in these verses, did He not? There was a reason. Because what this man needed, much more than his son to be healed, this man needed the Savior, amen? This man needed the Lord. And dare I say this evening, much more than that answer to prayer, much more than that miracle you believe that you need, my friends, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a personal relationship with Him. Once you and I put our trust in the Lord in simplicity of faith, Christ will take care of the miracles, amen? Christ will take care of the work. Believing without seeing. That's the life the Lord has called us to. To put our hope and faith in Him. So many more wonderful truths we can be encouraged with tonight. But the Lord is at work in our lives. As this father went down in verse 51, as we've already read, he found out his son was healed. Then in verse 52, he found out it was exactly at the same time that the Lord said he was healed. And in verse 53, we see that his whole house believed. You see, this was more than just a son being raised up to full health again. Amen. This was much more. The father got saved and the whole house was saved because the father put his faith in Christ, and the miracle took place. Amen. You see, the Lord wants to do much more than we can imagine in our lives. Let me encourage you. We have enough promises in His Word to know that He hears prayer, that He answers prayer. But what we need to ask is, where is our faith? Now, if you're like me and your faith is weak and your faith is small, let's be encouraged that the Lord is at work in our lives. Amen. And the Lord sometimes needs to rebuke us. And the Lord needs to bring us down so we come to Him with great desire. And that desire becomes faith as perhaps He delays or perhaps He answers that prayer and we're ashamed of our lack of faith. And we go on and we realize we need to trust Him more. We need to believe in Him more. We need to get to know Him more so that we can trust in Him. This year in 2016, the Lord wants to do great things in our midst. But will we believe in Him to do so? Will we trust Him? Will we allow Him to draw out that faith that He desires us to have in 2016? Thank God for His goodnesses, amen. He is still the God of miracles, but it's faith that is the issue. Not our faith to pray, but where we put our confidence and whom we put our confidence in, the one who has the power to do the impossible. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The miracle of the nobleman's son is the miracle of faith, believing without seeing.